we see the word leadeth occurs twice here in verse 3. And there are two different words, two different ways of leading. The first one is more for, and the other one is in. So there's an inward leading, which conveys the idea more of a drive or force. The Lord can lead gently. The Lord can lead by force, whatever it is we need. We've seen the manner of God's leading. I want to continue with that. We see He leads by the indwelling, the Holy Spirit. He leads by His Word. The Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit, uses His Word. Leads by His presence. Leads through human instrumentality. And we saw last week He leads by decree or providence. He also leads, and we're not going to spend but a few minutes on this, He leads by the example of Christ. And He does that through the Holy Spirit. He does that through His Word. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. So we have the example of Christ, which helps to lead us. Christ is our example. Christ is our illustration. He's our pattern. He's our standard. He's the ideal of all things. And the Holy Spirit that indwells within us points us to Christ. He points us to the example of Jesus Christ. Notice in John 16, Jesus Himself states this truth. John 16, verses 13 and 14. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you not unto, but into, big difference, all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, that is, independent from who He is, from His connection to the Trinity. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit shows us Christ. He shows us the example of Jesus Christ. So we have the example of Christ. That's always our pattern. Always our pattern. Always our standard. And that leads us to a seventh manner in which God leads, one that most don't give a whole lot of thought to. But He leads by the impartation of wisdom, of wisdom. Notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, I just want to read the last phrase of verse 10. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom is profitable to direct. So there is a wisdom that gives direction. What is it to give direction? What is it to direct? It means to show the way. So we know that the Spirit within us shows the way. The Word shows the way. All these things we've already mentioned shows the way. But wisdom is profitable to direct. That is, wisdom gives direction. Wisdom shows us the way. Now, in Proverbs chapter 1, you can't talk about wisdom without going to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, verses 2 and verse 3. To know wisdom, and notice what it says, and instruction. Wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. This is the purpose of the book of Proverbs. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment, and equity. So here we see twice wisdom and instruction are linked together. Verse 2, wisdom and instruction. Verse 3, the instruction of wisdom. So wisdom and instruction are linked together. As is, verses 2 and 3, perception, understanding, discernment. You see, wisdom includes all of those things. Included in wisdom is perception. Included in wisdom is understanding. Included in wisdom is discernment. So there is a wisdom that shows the way. In reading through the book of Proverbs, you'll see that wisdom will cause an individual to do many things. Wisdom will cause an individual to hear God's word. It's the fool that turns a deaf ear to God's word. Wisdom will cause one to hear God's word, but it doesn't stop there. Wisdom will cause one to receive God's word. Again, only the fool rejects God's word. And wisdom enables one to apply what they hear and what they receive of God. So this wisdom is profitable to show the way. So if we have wisdom, that guides us. It's a guide. This wisdom that we're talking about, of course, is particular. First of all, it comes from God. Just as the Holy Spirit comes from God, the Word comes from God. So this wisdom is a gift from God. The Bible tells us that He has, and to me this is a beautiful picture, that God has wisdom in store for us. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7. Which would be the Lord in verse 6, He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. That is, He puts it in store for us. When we need wisdom, God has it for each one of us that are saved. He has it in store for us. He layeth up wisdom for the righteous. And He is the giver of that wisdom. Notice Proverbs 2, verse 6. The Lord giveth wisdom. So He lays it up in store. And He gives it. And God is wise. He's omniscient. He lays up what we need, and He gives it to us as we need it. God's wisdom. So He's the giver of this wisdom. Notice in James chapter 1, verse 5. James 1, verse 5. Keep in mind, He layeth up in store wisdom for the righteous. Keep in mind that He's the giver of wisdom. In James 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, and again, it's wisdom to realize that you lack it, let him ask of God. Why? Because He has it laid up in store. And He's the giver of wisdom. He has laid up in store the wisdom we need at that moment. And He can give that wisdom. So when you realize that you lack wisdom, ask God. And it says that He giveth. to all men liberally or abundantly. He doesn't hold it back. And upbraideth not, that is, he does not rebuke you and I for asking for wisdom. It's always appropriate to ask God, Lord, give me wisdom, give me wisdom, give me wisdom. In fact, that ought to be a constant prayer of ours throughout the day. Give me wisdom, give me wisdom, give me wisdom. And he does not rebuke us for that. He has it laid up in store for us. And he gives it to us. And again, this wisdom directs us. And it directs us where God always directs us, and that is the paths of righteousness and for his name's sake or for his glory. And it shall be given him. So now if you go over to James chapter 3, this wisdom, verse 17, that we're talking about is said to be from above. But the wisdom that is from above. And then he goes on and he mentions some characteristics of this wisdom that comes from God. But what we want to notice is that it is opposed, or just the opposite, of the wisdom that comes from the world. So we have two types of wisdom. You have the wisdom of the world, which is really foolishness, and you have the wisdom that cometh from above. And that wisdom is profitable to direct. Notice in James 3, verse 14, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, that is the wisdom, the so-called wisdom that would produce envy and strife, descendeth not from above. It's not the wisdom spoken of in verse 17. And he gives some characteristics. It's earthly. That is, it's the spirit of the world. It's more in line with the world than it is the Holy Spirit or God's Word. It's sensual. That is, it's natural. It's what we would naturally do. And then, of course, it's devilish. It's demonic. So the wisdom from the earth, the wisdom that is not from above, is a very dangerous type of wisdom or form of wisdom. It's of the world, it's natural, and it's demonic. That kind of wisdom is not going to lead you into paths of righteousness. That kind of wisdom is going to take you away from paths of righteousness. But the wisdom that is from above, now that wisdom is profitable to direct us. So it's very important that we have wisdom because God uses that to give us direction. So this wisdom that is laid up in store by God and that comes from God, how do we obtain it? How do we get that wisdom? Do we have to learn certain truths? Do we have to spend X amount of time in Sunday school or under Bible instruction? How do we obtain this wisdom? Well, the Bible tells us. In the book of Job, chapter 28, the book of Job, chapter 28, really, the obtaining of this wisdom, we see we're to ask for it, but the foundation of obtaining it is really in our spirit more than what we do. And in Job 28, verse 12, where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Again, there's a link between wisdom and understanding. Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. Well, it's not found in this earth. And he goes on and he mentions the depth said, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold. You can't buy it. Neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. That is, the value of it is beyond gold and silver. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir and precious onyx or sapphire. And he goes on and on saying, speaking of the value of this wisdom. And then down in verse 28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding, or it manifests that someone has understanding. Now in Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord, now we've already seen the fear of the Lord is wisdom. It's wise to fear God. It's wise to reverence God. It's foolish not to. But in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the start of wisdom. A good understanding have they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. And then notice in Proverbs chapter 9, Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So we see a connect. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There has to be reverence for God. No one is wise who has irreverence for God. That's a fool. Someone who does not have reverence for God is a fool. Reverence for God, that's how we obtain wisdom. That's what's going to lead us to God to ask for wisdom, is this reverence for God. Now, you can go through the Scriptures and you see that this reverence of the Lord is extremely beneficial. It'll cause us to do many things. It'll cause us to depart from evil if we have reverence for God. It'll also cause us to seek the Lord. It'll cause us to seek God when we realize, you know what, I don't have the wisdom that I need for this situation, and it leads you to go to God and ask for wisdom. And He, of course, He has it laid up in store. So that leads to the question, what is this wisdom? What is this wisdom that comes from God? Now, I've heard for many years, and you have too, various definitions of wisdom. And there are some good definitions of wisdom, and there are some not so good definitions of wisdom. And we've heard both. But notice in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24. Now, the wisdom that is from above, that's the wisdom of God. It's that same wisdom that He lays up in store for you and I. Notice midway through verse 24, Christ, the power of God. Christ is the power of God. But notice what it says, and the wisdom of God. What is wisdom? That is this wisdom we're speaking of. It's Christ. It's Jesus Christ. That's wisdom. Remember, Christ is our example. You follow Christ's example, that's pretty wise. That's wisdom. Christ is the wisdom of God. All through Proverbs, wisdom is spoken of. You come to Proverbs chapter 8. There's a few times before you get to chapter 8. But Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is personified. And it is seen crying out to man. And who is that wisdom that's personified in Proverbs chapter 8? It's Christ. Christ is the wisdom of God. So you cannot separate this wisdom that is from above from Christ. You separate it from Christ, and now you're entering into the realm of the wisdom that's not from above. You're now entering into the realm of that wisdom that is the spirit of the world, and is fleshly, and is even demonic. So this wisdom cannot be separated from Jesus Christ. So a Christ-like and Christ-governed life is wisdom. If our life is like Christ, then that shows that we're wise. If our life is governed by Christ, that shows that we're wise. If our life is governed by our flesh, if our life is governed by the world, that shows that we're fools. But a Christ-governed life, that's wisdom. And that wisdom directs. And where does it direct? It directs us into the paths of righteousness. Now, we've seen also that wisdom and knowledge are connected, but they're not one and the same. There's a lot of people that have knowledge, but it would be a far stretch to say that they're wise. There's a lot of people that have knowledge that are utter fools. And I'm talking even, secular knowledge, but even biblical knowledge. You can have a biblical knowledge and still not be wise. So wisdom and knowledge are connected, but they're not the same thing. So wisdom is, part of wisdom is a knowledge of God, no doubt. A knowledge of Jesus Christ, a knowledge of God, a knowledge of Christ, a knowledge of His Word. But it goes beyond just the knowledge. It is that knowledge is applied to everyday life. If you cannot apply what you know of God to your life, if you cannot apply the Word of God to your life, that's not wisdom. You have knowledge, but without wisdom. So you cannot be just ignorant of God and be wise. You have to have some knowledge, but then you have to be able to apply. That's wisdom, to be able to apply. So knowledge and wisdom, though sometimes in Proverbs 1 and verse, such as Proverbs 1 and verse 7, are used as synonymous terms, they're not one and the same thing. The best knowledge wisely used, or the right use of biblical knowledge, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. And that will lead you into the paths of righteousness. So wisdom is agreement with God. To me, that's just common sense. If you agree with God, you're wise. And if you don't, you're a fool. Agreement with God is wisdom. Someone says, I see what the Bible says, but I'm going to do such and such. You're a fool. You read the Word of God and you say, I don't completely understand that, but God wrote it. I'm in agreement with it. That's wisdom. And that'll lead you in the paths of righteousness. You take the Word of God and you read it and you say, well, I see what it says, but I'm going to do such and such. You won't end up in the paths of righteousness. You're going to end up in the paths of the destroyer. So wisdom is agreement with God. And when we agree with God, that just kind of directs us. It kind of just shows us the way. It's basically viewing things from God's perspective. You have our own perspective. You have the world's perspective. There is God's perspective. And what people try to do today is they try to, I'm talking about God's people, they try to blend all three. Well, you've got a mess. When you can just plainly see things from God's perspective, that's wisdom. And there's safety in that. That wisdom will guide you. So wisdom is basically biblical skill in living. It's being able to apply the Word of God to our lives. Again, we'll see the importance, and the Bible speaks of the importance and significance of wisdom. It speaks of the value of wisdom. But one of the values of wisdom is it is profitable to guide. It will lead us in the paths of righteousness, and that's why we ought to seek wisdom that is from above, because it guides us, it points us in the right way, it shows us the way. So again, how thankful we ought to be that the Lord is our shepherd, how thankful we ought to be that He leads in paths of righteousness. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You, Lord, for this day. Lord, again, we thank You that You're our shepherd. Lord, that You're so good to us, that You protect us, that You lead us, that You feed us, that You direct us. Lord, just everything that You do, we just thank You, Lord, for being a shepherd to us. And we pray as we worship You today that You would cause us to give You all the honor, all the glory. And Lord, that You would save the lost that are amongst us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.